we are going to Achill Island to talk to a woman down there who sprang herself upon us and took us all by surprise, because there are indications about this green wave. And Saoirse McHugh is a first-time candidate from Achill, and she was running in Midlands Northwest. Good morning to you, Saoirse McHugh. I know you're not there yet, but I'm inclined to say congratulations just on having done so well.
I know, yeah. I have to keep reminding myself it's just an exit poll.
That's it.
That's all it is.
That's all it could go, 4% up or 4% down. But that doesn't change. It would change life very much for you. But you did take us a little by surprise last week in those debates. How had you planned for them?
I had studied an awful lot about policy, actually, and we never really got to that in the debate.
The problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was all prepped on, like, the fisheries policy and the agricultural policy, and I had looked at immigration policy and stuff, but the debate kind of became, people were shouting over each other, and a whole lot of time got taken up with that.
Well, the funny thing about it is, we were talking about it upstairs, when you arrested my attention was when you didn't shout over other people. And there was a fierce amount of shouting going on, and louder and louder and louder. And then you came on and you answered a question and you stopped. Had you planned that?
No, not at all. I was so nervous going up. I'd never done one of them before, and I didn't really know, because, of course, you know, Miriam had done the first debate, then Claire had done the second debate.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't seen David doing one of these, and I was trying to prepare for all sorts of ways it could have gone.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something to get used to. You'll see more experienced politicians running the clock when they start talking.
Yeah.
And I always just kind of, I'll answer. And then there'll be nothing else to say.
It worked for you, I would suggest, because when all the shouting starts, when people talk about people being disaffected with politics, that contributes to it. But anyway, never mind all that. Tell me about yourself, where you're from, what you're doing, what you studied, how you got involved with the Greens.
So I'm from Achill, as you were saying, and I grew up here. I went off to UCD and did genetics. That was about 10 years ago now. And then I ended up overworking in the States, working in stables at an animal sanctuary. And I spent a good year then in Mexico working on different kind of agricultural projects. And then I started seeing, when I was down there, I started seeing, like, the interplay between food and farming and politics.
Yeah.
So I came home and went to Lancaster. I did a master's in sustainable agriculture and food security. And so for the last few years, I've been here in Achill. I work as an outdoor pursuits instructor.
As a which?
So take, like, outdoor pursuits.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Taking kids up the mountain into the sea and stuff. But then in my spare time, what I had been doing was starting to reach out to any politician who'd talk to me to talk about getting an environmental, kind of an overarching environmental policy that politicians could sign up to, because I was looking at it and, like, there's loads of bills sitting in front of our government as it stands now that could be passed and could be really positive, and it seems like they're not because they're opposition bills, or I don't know why they're not, but it does feel like often the government plays kind of winning points over someone else, as opposed to, you know, working for the betterment of the country.
Stuff done. Which ones interest you?
Which?
You said there are bills there.
Yeah. So there's the, you know, the Greens have the microplastics, the microbead plastics. That was blocked, but they're talking about passing it now. But that's been there for 2 years. There's a waste reduction bill. There's a community-owned energy bill, which will say that any new renewable energy projects have to be open for community purchase. there's the Sinn Féin have a microgeneration bill, which would allow us to, if we had solar panels on our roof, to sell back electricity into the grid.
Yeah.
You've Breed Smith's climate emergency bill, which would mean that no new fossil fuel licenses, extraction licenses, are granted. Like, there's a good lot of them there already. But, yeah, so I thought if you could get, like, non-party policy, that politicians will be more likely to sign up for it. But anyway, one of these meetings, I was talking to Eamon about it. Eamon Ryan, sorry.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you'll have to get the trade unions involved. You know, it would be great. There's 800,000 of them. There's industries there that will need to have a say in our transition.
Yeah.
And he just said to me, why don't you run? And I realised, like, it had been about 2 years of me talking about food sovereignty, talking about agriculture and environmental policies, and I'd never even considered running myself. And so when I thought about it, the only reason I wouldn't do it would be fear.
Yeah.
And that didn't really feel like a good reason. So I said I would, and I did.
And was it... Is it hard going around asking people to vote for you?
It's so hard. And I'm definitely not good at that bluster yet.
Oh, don't go there.
But even, you know, even we were canvassing there the last day, Thursday, and we had been doing a lot of door-to-door canvassing, which I like, actually. But there on Thursday, they were like, come on, we're going to businesses. And even, you know, walking into a business and, hi, vote for me, vote for me, I find really... It's not really comfortable.
No, I think it must be awfully hard.
It is.
Awfully
photos
hard.
Photos I find hard, you know. Especially these staged ones when you have to pretend you're talking to somebody.
How do you mean pretend you're talking to somebody?
Oh, you know these photos you see? That, like, so many of them are like, oh, okay, now you two talk there and I'll take a photo of you.
Oh, I know, yes.
It's so gammy, you know.
Anyway, I mean, I don't want to rain on your parade in any way at all, but it was a pretty good achievement for you and indeed for the Greens generally. Now, as a general principle, I would think there is a huge support for the Green agenda, provided it doesn't touch my pocket. Carbon tax, forget it. You know, people say, oh, I'm all for the environment and protecting the environment, but, I mean, there's no way we can have carbon charges. But I'm all for the green environment, but there's no way we can do this. What do we do with the national herd? The farmers are feeling under incredible pressure and figure that too much focus is on them. And, I mean, we just got to the stage where we had been encouraged to expand the dairy herd. And now they're being, you know, vilified for having so done.
Yeah, well, in terms of, like, personal action, I do think, you know, it can only get us so far, which is why we need top-down change. Because like that, you can only tax someone so far, you can only make someone feel bad enough to make changes. Like, my whole life is riddled with guilt. And, like, I'm like, oh, geez, I can't eat that. I shouldn't do this. I feel bad flying here. But in the end of it, we do need top-down change. I remember the day that I was like, okay, this is the right decision I've made, was the day that the minister launched like an all-government climate action plan. I can't remember the name of it. Was the same day he granted new exploratory drilling licenses. And when questioned on this, he said that there was no point in stopping companies drilling before the individual changed. And I just got so mad because, like, I care so much, but yet I'm in a house that is over 200 years old. It has a solid stove that needs coal because the stove box is actually so small on it. I drive a car. There's one bus leaves Ackle at 8 in the morning. One bus comes in at 8 in the evening. The nearest post office is 17 kilometres away. You know, this kind of pushing the responsibility downward instead of making sweeping system change won't work.
Well, if you take a place like Ackle, and if you take, you know, transport there, like, you couldn't, it seems to me, function on Ackle Island if you didn't have the facility to get on and off the island. You know, and you certainly couldn't have a job, say, in Westport or Castlebar if you didn't have transport, and the only transport is your own car.
Yeah, and that's why, like, environmental planning is going to have to be mainstreamed into everything. It's going to have to be, like, our urban and rural planning is going to have to be looked at and said, okay, how do we look at this in the context of climate change?
But say, for example, I mean, would you evacuate the population out of Achill? Because they can't get to and fro and they can't get on with their lives without cars.
No, I would not evacuate the people of Achill.
I'm sure they're listening, yeah.
No, but I don't think that it has to be like that. You know, there are towns that 50 years ago were vibrant hubs that were self-contained, and I think we could definitely move back towards that.
How?
Well, as I was saying, things like urban and rural planning are going to have to be mainstream. We're going to have to look at how to get small businesses back into areas, how to relocalise food systems, for coastal communities. Let's actually look at what's happening with fishing here. Like, it's going to have to be in every single aspect of our governance is going to have to look at how can we tackle climate breakdown and biodiversity loss while not punishing the poor.
Well, that's one big task. I mean, do you think that occurs by personal decisions or by somewhere like the European Commission or the European Parliament pushing it?
I think it'll have to come from all levels. I don't think any one level can do it by itself. And there's nobody not vested in this. Like, this is going to affect every single person, and so every single person is going to have to have a say in it as well. Excuse me.
And how do you see your future if you don't get this seat?
I suppose I'll continue doing what I was doing. I'll continue getting on to journalists, getting on to politicians, saying, let's do this, let's do that, let's change this. I'll probably end up working in farming, I'd say, in growing. What I was going to do, what I had, my little project I had started before I decided to run, was to get as many people in Achill growing. I was going to start with maybe 20 or 30 people. We were all going to grow and kind of have a growing, almost like network hub. And it would be good to see what that could do for a community.
Right. You're talking about vegetables, spuds, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
A couple of callers were on. Hello, Marion. Great surge in the Green vote. Hopefully this time they can remember with power comes responsibility and moderation. Look what happened to them in 2011, a wipeout. They now have another opportunity to influence policy, but if their policies bring hardship and crippling taxes on citizens, they will lose the momentum they now have.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think everyone in the Green Party is aware of that. And nobody is advocating taxes as a measure on their own.
Another one here said, let me go to Luke Ming Flanagan, because he tweeted yesterday about you. And he said, whatever the result, a gem has been discovered. You've given many people hope that it doesn't have to be same old, over and over again. I salute you. You should sit back and purr with pride tonight. I thought that was rather generous.
It was lovely of him, and he's been so supportive and good in this campaign, especially keeping my spirits up.
Yeah. And tell me about your interaction a little bit with Peter Casey. Were you talking to him afterwards?
Yeah, I was talking to him afterwards.
And what class of a conversation was that?
Fine. Civil. I had spoken to him about this before. I had rang him and said that, that I thought what he was doing was really dangerous and really irresponsible. And afterwards, he was totally fine as well. You know, he said, I know you're worried about me. And I said, I'm not worried about you. It's not going to affect you. And then we all got shuffled off down the hallway.
Right.
But no, we didn't square up or anything.
Right. Another caller says, I like to think many of Saoirse McHugh's votes were also anti-Casey votes. Looking forward to Dancing with the Stars. Remind people of what you said about Dancing with the Stars.
I just suggested that Peter should go on Dancing with the Stars if he wanted the attention.
And that he would get the attention there, because some people in Dancing with the Stars were kind of cross about that. But I presume that was a joke. Now, genuinely, if you were to start, if you were to be in Europe, at the, if you were to be, I keep on stressing that because I don't, as I say, want to raise false hopes. What would the first thing you would be sorting out in your mind be that you want to address or do or campaign about or lobby for?
Well, I'd love to get on to the Agri Committee. Now, this Parliament going in is going to be the one who'll vote on the final cap.
Yeah.
But I would love to get on to the Agri Committee for future negotiations. I'd love to see a common food policy brought in to try and line up agricultural policy with all the other regions that interact with our food system, because I think agriculture has a golden opportunity, if done right, to, like you were saying earlier, I think there's so many farmers in Ireland who are hurting at the moment, and there's a golden opportunity there if we refocused agriculture around farmers and the environment and communities, and away from export-driven production levels. Then we could really, really bring back financial stability and environmental care into our agriculture.
Right.
But we'll have to pay farmers right.
Okay. Caller says, well done, Greens. I voted Green. Stop big ideas, start small, ban plastic bottles, make public transport free. These are game changers. Another one, the most significant green decision any individual can make is to reduce red meat consumption. There you go again. That's not a tax on anyone. That's just a new habit. Now, before I let you go, I just want to come back to the personal. How did your ma and da react?
Dad started jumping around and roaring, and I was like, Dad, be cool. It's just an exit poll. Be cool. He was so excited, and then my aunt got on the phone to me. And I was still remaining calm, and she's like, oh, put your dad on, you're too calm. She's jumping around the place as well.
Right.
They were delighted and shocked.
Are you going to go to the count?
I think I will. I wasn't going to. I think I'll have to, won't I?
I think that's the custom and practice anyway.
Yeah.
But that means you have to be ready for a huge disappointment in public.
I think one way or the other I'll end up crying.
Right, well, I'm just looking at the paper still. Careful on that, unless you're perfectly happy that it'll be all over every paper.
Oh, like Theresa May.
There's Theresa May. It's the only picture they're showing from yesterday. Anyway, now you'll have the photographers looking after you. I gather you have another problem, which is about rehousing your hens.
Oh, stop. I think I was getting so sad there this morning. I was like, Jesus, I could go to Brussels. What'll I do with them? There's a sanctuary called Little Hill Animal Rescue in Kildare, I think they're based. And what they do is when the big egg farms are getting rid of hens, you can write them and say, I'll take whatever, 6. And so they collect them ones.
All right.
And adopt them out. And so, like, especially because all these hens came to me bald, you know, with little grey combs and no life in them. And now they're great things, and I'd feel awful leaving them.
How many have you?
Well, we've had a few deaths recently, actually, so we're down again to 4 only. But they're like pets.
And do they produce eggs?
Yeah, when you can find them. They lay
out. Oh,
wild.
They lay out, yeah. Well, listen, who wouldn't want to take a hen or two and have fresh eggs? Though you mustn't have any foxes around. Do you leave them out? You do?
Yeah, I'm afraid, like, because a lot of people around here have had hens taken, but they're right in the middle of the village, and there's a few people with fox lights up further out the way.
Yeah.
So I think the fox don't come in past them.
All right. Okay. I speak from a certain amount of experience on that. Anyway, we will leave it there for the moment. And win, lose or draw, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. That's Saoirse McHugh, Green Party MEP candidate for Midlands Northwest. We'll take a break.